Chapter 21. By the following evening, our last at Spence before Easter week, we are desperate to enter the realms again. I don't try to conjure the door of light on my own anymore. It's hardly worth the effort when I shall only be disappointed, and weave another way in that never fails. Once we're certain our teachers are gone to bed, we run straight for the secret door by the east wing, and then on to the borderlands. We no longer bother with the garden. It feels like child's play somehow, a place where we turned pebbles into butterflies as girls do. Now we fancy the blue twilight of the borderlands, with its musky flowers and the magnetic pull of the winterlands. Each time we play, we find ourselves a toehold closer to that imposing wall that separates us from its unknown expanse. Even the castle has grown less forbidding to us. The wealth of deadly nightshade blooming from its walls gives it colour, like a Mayfair parlour covered in the most exotic paper. We burst through the castle's vine-twisted doors, shouting Pip's name, and she runs to us, squealing with delight.
"You're here at last! Ladies, ladies, our fine party can begin!"
After the magic has joined us in blissful communion, we own the night. The party spills out of the castle into the blue-tinged forest. Laughing, we play hide-and-seek behind the fir trees and the berry bushes, running merrily across the tangled vines that crisscross the frosty ground. Anne begins to sing. Her voice is lovely, but here in the realms it achieves a freedom it does not have in our world. She sings without apology, and the song is like wine, loosening our cares. Bessie and the other factory girls cheer wildly for her, not with the polite, tempered applause of drawing rooms, but with the boisterous, joyful whoops of the music hall. Bessie, May, and Mercy have clouded themselves in a glamour of gowns, jewels, and fancy shoes. They've never owned such finery before, and it does not matter that it is borrowed by magic. They believe, and the believing changes everything. We've the right to dream, and that, I suppose, is the magic's greatest power, the notion that we can pick possibility from the trees like ripe fruit. We are filled with hope, alive with transformation. We can become.
"Am I a lady, then?"
May asks, strutting in her new blue silks. Bessie shoves her affectionately.
"The Queen of Bloody Sheba!"
She laughs hard and loud. May shoves her back, a bit less gently.
"Who are you, then? Prince Albert?"
"Oi!" Mercy chides. "Enough! It's a happy occasion, ain't it?"
Felicity and Pip perform a comical waltz, pretending they are a Mr. Deadly Dull and a Miss Ninny Pants. In a ridiculously stuffy voice, Felicity prattles on about fox hunting.
"The fox should be grateful to face our guns, for they are the finest guns in all of society trained on his lowly form. How lucky indeed!"
Whilst Pippa bats her lashes and says only,
"Why, Mr. Deadly Dull, if you say so, it must be so, for I'm sure I have no opinions of my own upon the subject."
It is rather like Punch and Judy come to life, and we laugh till tears fall. Yet, for all their silliness, they move beautifully. With exquisite grace, they anticipate each other's steps, sweeping round and round, Pip's gems winking in the dust. Pippa prances about, grabbing each of us in turn for a dance. She sings a merry bit of doggerel.
"Oh, I've a love, a true, true love, who waits upon yon shore."
This makes Felicity laugh.
"Oh, Pip!"
It's all the encouragement Pip needs. Still singing, she pulls Fee into yet another dance.
"And if my love won't be my love, then I will live no more."
Indeed, Pip is charming at the moment. She's irresistible. I've not always liked her. She can annoy and delight in equal measure. But she saved these girls from a terrible fate. She saved them from the Winterlands, and she means to look after them. The old Pip would never have been able to look beyond her own troubles to help someone else, and that must count for something.